Welcome to Wednesday show. Morning, studio.
Morning.
Well, well, well. Amy is still getting birthday gifts, even days and days after her birthday. What was the last gift you got?
Well, it was from a friend I hadn't seen, but she dropped it off my porch, and I opened it up, and it was a blessings jar. And I've never gotten one of these before, but it said it on the jar. So I opened up the card from her, and she explained inside that she reached out to some of my friends and had them write affirmations about me or things that they liked about me and our friendship and whatnot. And so anytime I feel like I need to be affirmed, which words of affirmation are my love language, I can reach into the jar and pull one out and see what, you know, with my affirmation from my friends. And it's like a blessings jar. So I just thought it was like the cutest idea ever. Super thoughtful. Definitely takes some planning and some work, but it's a great idea if you want to do it. And then Bobby, I was like, whoa, hey, I guess she got some blessings from you. So that was interesting to see. And thank you for my affirmations.
Yeah, of course she's going to ask me. I'm like basically one of your closest forever life friends.
Well, yeah.
I think I said that you're a very hard worker, which you are.
Mm-hmm. You did. That was on one card.
What was the other card?
It was just that I'm kind to when I meet people or something. Yeah. It was nice. It was funny. One of them, I pulled it out and it was like, you are a hard worker, Bobby. I was like, okay. And there might be some days where I need to reach my hand in the blessings jar and pull that out and it'll be perfect.
Well, you're acting like I'm saying something extremely simple, like something an 8 or 9 year old would say.
Well, that's exactly what you, that's what it said. It was just cute.
But he sees you work hard every day. So
and
that
I said,
yeah,
let's go A to B as fast and efficiently as possible. So I said, you are a hard worker. You're a hard worker. The end. There's your affirmation. I get to work. That's what I do.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. So, well, you're still getting gifts. My birthday's coming up Friday. Mm-hmm. And so I know we're not having a big birthday party or celebration on that day, really. We may go to dinner or something. But I already have one of my gifts. Caitlin gave me, she got me a really nice watch. I now know, Eddie.
Okay, good. Do you like it?
I do like it.
Isn't it?
She got me, I've started to slowly get into watches a little bit. I guess I need an adult version of tennis shoes or just a hobby. And so I've been, you know, doing a little watch shopping, and she found me a watch, and then she kind of created it. There's a road map of the entire state of Arkansas on it. It has my initials on the face as well. It's really cool.
Wow.
Yeah. She put a lot of time into it. They had to make it specially.
Time.
There you go. But, yeah, my birthday is Friday coming up, which is it's a big set of birthdays here.
Yeah.
Eddie, Amy, myself. Anybody else having a birthday around this time on the show? Or just us three? Okay. Well, that's three enough. I think
that's a lot.
That's a lot of birthdays. I hope you guys are good. On Friday's show as well, Brett Eldredge will be on. Since it's the birthday show, Brett will come in. Not that it has anything to do with the other. I think the timing just worked out. But he's just so dreamy, you know?
He just had a birthday too, I think.
He did have a birthday. That's right. I think that's maybe the other one I was thinking about.
Yeah.
The popularity of the mailbag, just growing. People love it. People are sending so many emails. We love reading them. We love helping you out. Let's open up the mailbag.
You send an email and we read it on the air. It's something we call Bobby's Mailbag. Yeah.
Hello, Bobby Bone, she writes. My name is Holly. I'm from Wyoming. I need help on an issue that I currently have with my roommate. I've been living with this roommate for over 6 months. Things are starting to get frustrating. I'm 26. She's 23. She has not been chipping in or doing her fair share of the work to keep the place up. I've only been the one to clean up for a couple of months. I unload the dishwasher, even if it's her dishes. I clean her leftovers, old food, so on and on. My issue is that while she's still living here and using the place, she should be helping clean and take responsibility instead of dumping everything on me. My poor boyfriend even cleaned up her dog's poop in our apartment patio because she wouldn't. She's not a horrible human, but I'm over cleaning up her messes and only being the responsible one. How do I handle it? I'm also just trying to make it through as my boyfriend and I are looking for a place and I will be moving in with him at the end of our lease. I don't want to make her hate me, but I almost don't care. Please help. Thanks, Holly. It's tough. I had a roommate. I got in so much trouble back in the day because I would call her the devil on the air. I didn't know her. When I moved to Austin, 22 years old, I had a friend of a friend who was like, hey, I have a friend who needs a roommate. She's already living there. And I was like, great. So she was looking for a place. I was looking for a place. We were like, hey, well, you know this person? Yep, moved in. I lived in the bottom part of the apartment. She lived on the top. We might have had 5 conversations ever. But
I would on the air be like, you know what the devil was like today? I would just call her the devil.
Was she just mean?
No, but it was like if I ate some of the bread, there would be like, you owe 42 cents for bread.
Oh, my.
It was very much like that. And I'm sure I was no peach. But we never saw each other because I worked nights. And I was getting home at 5 in the morning and then sleeping and then going back to work. So there was, but it was that weird thing where if I use mustard and it was like, you owe 27. And I was like, dang, this is crazy. I was probably a little too harsh with the devil stuff.
Yeah, I was like, you didn't think that it was.
Called her Lucifer.
From 22 to 32, I was bonkers on the air.
Yes, I know.
I was absolutely insane.
We've heard the things you've done.
Yeah. Well, so, and Amy experienced a lot of them. So, Lunchbox, yeah. That being said, you got to get out. You're not going to change her.
Yeah. But I know she's probably not a horrible person, but it is pretty bad to like have your dog use the restroom on the patio and then not be willing to pick it up. Like, I might file that under close to horrible.
Yeah, that's a pretty bad person. But a messy person is not a bad person.
No.
But someone who disregards other people, even when they know it's an issue,
right.
Then it starts to. So here's what I say. You need to have that conversation. Hey, this is what I'm doing. Is there any way you can help? She's going to temporarily either be offended and help a little bit or not be offended and help a little bit, but it's not going to last. You have a light at the end of the tunnel.
Right.
Get out.
You have your way out.
She's not your best friend forever. She's not. Go away. Get your lease. No, you're going to have to do the heavy lifting. And do the heavy lifting and then get out of town.
You know, sometimes though, like people just need to be told, like maybe it's for whatever reason not dawning on her that it's an issue not to pick it up. So I do think if you can have a thoughtful conversation and just give her a heads up, maybe if you've done it before one last time, it'll sink in. And then she might realize like, oh yeah, maybe I should pick that up. And then if she doesn't, then that's when.
I just leave a note on the fridge.
What?
Yeah.
Is that. You don't think it deserves an actual conversation?
Depends on how much you like her.
Mm. Sounded like she wants to be your friend.
Okay. There is some communication that needs to be had, but it's not going to fix it forever. It's just a Band-Aid. Because she just lives like this. And her roommate, whenever she finally gets married or with someone, they're going to have to deal with that.
I feel like roommate notes are kind of passive-aggressive.
We used to do roommate confessions when Lunchbox and Ray lived together.
Yeah.
Yes.
For how long?
One year. And Ray never came out of his room. He didn't watch one TV show with me the entire year. We didn't watch a football game, a basketball game, nothing.
Did you guys not like each other?
He was scared of my dogs.
Is that what it was?
A little bit, yeah. And I didn't want to get hair all over myself, so I just stayed to my quarters, honestly.
And didn't you just have a mattress on the floor?
That's all. No. I had a queen.
What?
Come on, dude.
On the floor?
What was his room like?
It was a box spring and the mattress. And then he had a TV, and he had a video game system, and he had he didn't have a chest of drawers or anything. He just had his clothes in, like, little boxes. It was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen.
He's a bachelor.
I had an awesome recliner. I had a 60-inch TV. What else do you need in your room?
He bought that TV.
With a tax return.
But he got a tax return, and then he traded all of his tax return in for Amazon bucks or something, right?
Yep.
And then bought a TV with it.
Exactly. Got an Xbox, had a mini fridge. Why would I need to leave?
Mini for
true. Was Ray the worst roommate you ever had?
No, by far no. I mean, my roommate in college when I lived there, he was like 21 years old in the dorm, and he would tell me I can't come in past 10 o'clock, and he would unplug. He wanted to unplug the phone at night, and he was like, "If you're gonna stay out late, you need to check in." I'm like, "Dude, you're 21 years old. We're in college. Get out of my life."
Yeah.
And why are you living in the dorms at 21 years old? You're weird.
I like the dorms. I didn't live there that
old. At 21 years old? Come on, man. Like, go out and do
maybe
something.
Maybe that was his option.
And maybe he got it paid for by the school.
Right. Ooh.
Whenever I was a freshman, my best friend in high school at the time and I moved in together into the dorm. And I just came home one day and he's gone. Didn't tell me he's leaving. Packed up all his crap and left. Because I guess was a bit like Lunchbox's roommate, where I wasn't like it, but I was like, man, I have to go to sleep. I have to wake up at 7 o'clock for classes. I worked all night. I didn't get home till 1 or 2 in the morning, and I was like, can we not have parties in the room? Can we just keep it a little quieter?
Oh.
And so we're friends again now, but we didn't talk for a few years. He was like, I just remember coming home, and I was like, the half the room was completely empty. I was like, this is weird. What's going on? And then I got a text like 2 days later, hey, I moved to somebody else. Like, what the crap just happened here? In the end, Holly, thank you for your note. You're going to have to do the heavy lifting until you move out. Just look forward to moving out. Have a conversation, but she is not going to change.
That's our note. That's the mailbag.
We got your email and we read it on the air. Now it's time to close Bobby's mailbag. Yeah.
Morgan, if they want to email the mailbag, what do they do?
Mailbag@bobbybones.com.
One of the questions that I get the most if I'm out and about is, what's happening with Amy's kids? So let's just sit down and do this for a second. Amy, what's happening with the kids?
Well, for my son, I am looking into this place called Diggerland. And have you ever heard of a place?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so it's a place where it's like a theme park, but you dig things up. It's in New Jersey, though, so I feel like it would be like a big family trip, but it does seem awesome. And way back in the day, I think when I was 18, I took one of those assessment tests to see what I should do with my life, and it said, operate heavy machinery.
You, so, as clumsy as you are?
Well, I don't know. I don't remember how the test like figured that out, but I was like, wow, I think I would enjoy Diggerland too. It's like America's only construction theme and water park.
So it's not you digging with your hands because...
No, it's machines.
They're going to let your 9-year-old son get in a monster machine and dig stuff up?
Well, he's 10 now.
Oh, dang.
Oh, big difference.
I mean, it's a construction-themed water park. I'm sure it's, you know, family-friendly, but...
The water park side of it's weird, too. Like, do you jump out of, you know, the tractor into the... wave pool, or are they separated?
I have no idea, but it's called
Separated?
Yeah, yeah, Diggerland USA, and I don't know. I saw about it, and my son is like, I think we're probably going to be booking a trip there at some point.
That's fun.
The next year.
Yeah, what else?
My daughter is, well, she knows she takes food to school to try to sell it, because we've busted her with like baggies and a Sharpie and writing a price on the bag.
You know, mostly though, when you bust a kid with baggies trying to sell something...
No, she's a sugar dealer.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And now I got these cookies sent to me like a belated birthday present from Milk Bar Store, which is like amazing cookies. Like they're so good and they're pricey too. So she saw them and how cute they are and the packaging. And she was like, oh, these are going to get me out of a lot of debt. And I was like, say what? She's like, well, I need to take these cookies. I'm in debt with some people for sugar. So if I... pay them back with these cookies. These are so nice that they're going to actually owe me. So I let her.
It's like she has a bookie.
Yeah,
like...
I don't know. She's she's a sugar dealer. I'm telling you, there is something going on that I don't quite understand. But she definitely used my cookies to go to school and pay her debt.
You let her?
Yeah, I mean, there was so many. There's no way we're going to eat them all. We kept a few for the house, and then she took a few to pay off whoever she needs to pay off.
Do you feel like she has some little secret businesses going on that you don't know?
Well, I also thought it was super cute she understood debt, right? Like, I was proud of that. But yes.
You didn't answer my question. Do you think she has, like, hidden money somewhere that you don't know about because she's operating some little...
I know she has money hidden different places. She's told me that. So I don't know where... I know where some of the money comes from.
Yeah.
But she has told me before that she has it hidden in various... places around the house.
I like her her hustle.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I could learn a thing or two from her.
All right, there you go. For everybody who asked me, that's how Amy's kids are doing right now. Thank you.
Bobby Bones Show. The latest from Nashville and Hollywood. Morgan number 2's 30 Second Skinny.
Luke Combs wrote a new song in response to one of his fans who tweeted Luke a picture wearing a beer box on his head in his wedding day photo. The song is called We Still Drink Beer.
We still drink beer. We still get loud.
Church talks about the songwriting process behind his 3-part album, Heart and Soul, coming in April.
One of the big things people may not understand is when I invited these people to come up, I want people to understand the process. So I committed to, I will get up in the morning and we're going to write a song or create a piece of work that we're going to record that night. Then we're going to do it again and again and again.
Kelsey Ballerini shared what it was like filling in for Kelly Clarkson on The Voice.
I got on the plane, landed, hair and makeup set, said hi to Nick Jonas, John Legend, and Blake Shelton, got in Kelly's seat, and I was like, make it till you make it.
I'm Morgan number two. That's your skinny.
It's time for the good news.
With Bobby.
Tell me something good.
A Coastal Carolina University student received a gift during her shift at Outback Steakhouse. Savannah Stoneman said a young couple came in, left her an amazing $500 tip, and wrote at the bottom of the receipt, get something that makes you happy. Stoneman is in the process of doing her student teaching internship at school, so money is very tight for her. She would like the couple to know just how much their kindness and generosity meant to her. She said, I'm only able to work at Outback 2 days a week. This one tip is more than I make in an entire week, and it's going to help her continue on.
It's awesome.
Lunchbox has tried to get in the news for stories like this a couple of times.
Yes, I try. Man, listen, I don't understand. How big of a tip do I have to leave to get in the news?
I'd say bottom $500.
Oh!
You're out.
Like basement price, $500.
Man, I was going to, I was going to try 100.
I don't think 100 gets you in the news. Mm. I don't think 100 gets you more than a, that was really nice, like a happy sniff.
Oh, man, can I borrow 500, guys?
Hey, shout out to this couple. They are not in the article, but Savannah Stoneman, keep working hard. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
I think I'm stressing Caitlin out with the wedding coming up because I just forget to invite people. This morning, I woke up and she goes, hey, did you invite? And she lists off three people. And I was like, yeah, of course I did. She looked back at the list. She goes, nope, they're not on here. I was like, no, I'm pretty sure I did. I would for sure invite them. And I didn't invite them. Like three people I for sure would have invited. And I wouldn't even thought about until Caitlin's like, hey, did you invite these people? So I think I'm stressing her out a little bit. There's also a part of the wedding where they want us to create our own signature cocktail. And I don't drink. So what do you think I created, Amy?
Shirley Temple type thing.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah, I didn't know what to name it. So if you guys have a name.
Bobby Temple?
Well, that's what I said. That was the easy one, but I didn't think people would know what that was.
Oh, I get it, but I don't know.
What is in a Shirley Temple?
Well, it's basically, you know, cherry juice or whatever that.
And
the version of a drink. Grenadine.
Oh, grenadine,
and
yeah.
Like 7-Up, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and it's pretty good. I like it when I go to a bar because it looks like I'm drinking. But you can also do a dirty Shirley with alcohol in it.
Sounds weird.
Yeah, I don't like that.
So here's what I
like the sound of that.
Well,
don't order one.
There'll be two versions of those. Okay. There'll be the one that I have, the Shirley Temple, and there's the dirty Shirley if you want to add, apparently you add vodka to it.
Or the dirty Bobby? I don't know.
Here's the challenge I'm going to give our listeners. Call our voicemail line. What should I name this Shirley Temple kind of drink?
The clean one and the dirty one.
Yeah. But they need to kind of be named semi the same thing.
Right.
877-77-BOBBY. Maybe if you come up with a name, we'll give you a dollar or something. I don't know. We don't have any prizes around here anymore, really. We used to have all kinds of stuff to give out. And nothing anymore. Speaking of weddings, a 27-year-old guy just posted on Reddit he's having an issue with his fiance. They got engaged on Valentine's Day, but he wants a Star Wars wedding. Like, he wants to go all out. He's talking about hiring stormtroopers to dance, groomsmen in Jedi robes, using Star Wars music for their first dance. But his fiance isn't even into Star Wars. Quote, she doesn't want anything about Star Wars in our wedding at all. I suggested that we could plan half the wedding. Like, she handles the ceremony and I plan the reception. She said no on that too, but he's sticking with it. He said, this is my wedding too, and I should get to decide at least half the day. So, where do you fall on this guy on Reddit, Amy?
Nope. No Star Wars themed wedding. Nope. You can throw yourself the biggest Star Wars birthday party next year or whatever you want to do, but you're not doing it at my wedding. If I happen to be a fan too, that's different. But if I'm not, I'm sorry. Our wedding is not for your dress up party.
Yeah, it's not for you to live out your childhood fantasy, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with this. There was a part of me that wanted to wear an extremely loud fire engine red suit when I was walking down the aisle, which I've also learned I'm not walking down the aisle, but when I was getting married. And Caitlin was like, I don't think that's the move. And so we settled on, if I want to wear a red suit, I'll wear it to the reception. Because a little bit, I was just living out my dream. I don't need to get married in a red suit. I realize that now. Although it would be kind of cool, huh?
Wait, you're going to do a wardrobe change?
Well, I don't know. The world is my oyster.
That's right.
I mean, I don't think I show up to the reception in the same clothes that I was wearing to the wedding, do I? I mean,
usually I mean, you do.
I feel like hey, let most me ask grooms you this. Do, but usually. I mean, I guess you're not the norm, so it's fine.
I mean, would Reba have a wardrobe change?
Yeah, probably multiple.
Exactly.
But some brides do. I just have not ever heard of the groom doing it.
Well, I think if I want to go down in a pair of chaps and a denim vest, I will.
Yeah. Okay.
We'd all look forward to that, Bones.
I didn't know you didn't really change clothes.
Okay, well, it's your day. How many times have we said that? So I don't even know why we're questioning what your plans are, because at the end of it all, it is your day.
And it's almost time. Summertime. Can you believe it? I'll be getting married. Did you ever think you'd see the day, Amy?
No, I mean, I guess I always just thought it would happen, but I didn't, yeah, but couldn't really ever picture it. But now I can picture it clear as day, so seems good.
Ed, did you ever think I'd be getting married?
No, I think Amy nailed it. Like, yes, for sure, someday, yeah, but you always talked about it. Like, someday I'll get married. But if I closed my eyes back in the day and pictured Bobby getting married, I would see a black just picture of nothing.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was
pretty crazy. No,
black picture of nothing?
I mean, there was no way I could imagine this going down the way it's happening. It's pretty cool, though.
What do
it's
you
awesome.
Mean the way it's happening?
Just, I mean, for me, I think it's sooner than I thought it would happen. I didn't expect.
I'll be 41 years old.
Honestly, Bones, I thought maybe late 40s, 50.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But it's great. You found the woman of your life and the love of your life, and it's happening all right now, and it's awesome.
Why do you think I'd be 50?
I just thought that you have to think everything out, and I figured, you know, you were just going to finish everything you were doing here with on TV and radio and all these TV shows, and then you were going to be like, all right, I'm ready to get married. I just didn't think it was going to be this quick.
Dang, I didn't realize I was a prodigy at this wedding stuff, doing it early. It's time for another round of the Bobby Feud. Here we go. We have three players. Eddie will start this round. The top 10 least favorite chores.
Ooh.
A poll from YouGov asked 2,000 U.S. adults about their least favorite chores. You get points for wherever you land on the board. If you get the number one answer, it's only worth 1 point because that's the easiest one. Eddie, you're up first. What is your least favorite chore?
Bones, I'm going to start with something that just came right to my mind. Let's go dishes. Doing the dishes.
Show me doing the dishes. Number two answer.
So that's only 2 points?
Yeah.
All right. The next one I hate doing is the laundry. Daddy's never going to do the laundry.
Show me daddy's never doing the laundry. Number one answer.
Bones, I think I'm going to go with cleaning the bathroom. No one likes to clean a dirty, stinky bathroom.
Daddy don't like to clean the dirty, stinky bathroom.
Yeah.
Number three, Eddie.
And this is one that I've delegated to my son now. I no longer do it because he does it. He takes out the trash.
Ooh, take out the trash. Show me taking out the trash.
Yeah!
The number nine answer.
Okay.
That's big points.
Now I'm in trouble.
Eddie has 15 points so far.
So I don't know. This may count as laundry, but can we do folding clothes? Is that different?
That's laundry.
Show me folding clothes.
Okay. Celebrated a little too early there.
Eddie went hard with 15 points to start.
Yeah.
Amy, you're up. They asked 2,000 adults, what's your least favorite chore? There are still 6 answers on the board. Lots of points up here. What do they say?
Well, what's been taken?
Doing laundry, doing the dishes, cleaning the bathroom, and taking out the trash.
The yard. Yard work.
Dang it. That's number 10.
Show me yard work.
Ooh.
Lunchbox, over
okay.
to you.
Okay.
Okay. You know what I like? Don't like doing? Getting that mop out and cleaning the floors.
He says cleaning the floor. Show me sweeping or mopping. At number 6.
Okay.
6 points for Lunchbox.
Guys, I mean... Listen, I don't know if this is a chore you guys had to do, but, I mean, when your parents are really mad at you, they make you go outside and wash that freaking car. No one wants to wash the car.
Show me wash that freaking car. Oh.
Maybe is wash the car, not wash the freaking car?
No, dang. Not there. Eddie, back over to you. Round starts over.
Bones, I know not everyone has pets, but one of the worst things to do when you do have pets, you got to clean the poop from the backyard.
Clean the poop from the backyard of the pets.
Hit me. What? Great.
There are five answers left on the board. Your least favorite chore, laundry, dishes, bathroom, all off the board, sweeping and mopping off the board, and take the trash out. Amy, over to you.
Well, is vacuuming the same thing as sweeping and mopping?
You want to say it?
I don't have anything else, so vacuuming.
Show me vacuuming.
That's good.
Oh, man. Amy,
7 points.
Good job. Ooh. I thought it was same. That's why I didn't do it. Dang.
I don't know. I don't know that people would get this specific, but I don't like cleaning. I guess we already said bathrooms. I was going to say toilets, but that could be the bathroom. Cleaning windows, dusting. Cleaning baseboards. That's so annoying. Dusting. Baseboards.
What is your answer?
Dusting.
Show me dusting.
Whoa! Who dusts?
At number four, that's dusting.
Dang.
Amy now has 11 points. She's back in the game.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. I already forget the ones we have.
There are three left. We have laundry, dishes, bathroom, dusting, sweeping and mopping, vacuuming, taking out the trash.
And this is just this is under the umbrella of chores?
Mm-hmm.
Man.
There are 23 points still on the board.
I know. It's like cooking a chore? Or is that like life?
It's that survival.
Sure, yeah, because you got to eat. But, I mean, you could just order out. That's why we don't want to cook, because we're lazy. I'm going to say cooking.
Show me cooking.
Oh, boo. Well, I tried.
Lunchbox, you got three left.
Yeah, you want it?
Yeah.
You want it?
Yeah.
I mean, what do you refuse to do when your parents did? They say, you can't go outside until you clean your room.
Clean your room.
What? No kid likes to clean their room.
They asked adults, remember?
I have one.
What? No, I didn't know that.
It's not your turn.
I know. I'm waiting.
Eddie, go ahead.
I didn't realize it was adults.
Okay. Bones, I think I have the three left right here.
Go ahead.
The first one is the most disgusting thing in the world. If you have an apartment and you're ready to move out, do not forget to clean your oven.
To clean your oven.
Disgusting.
You only do that if you move out of your apartment.
Oh, for sure.
Survey says.
Oh, my goodness.
Make your bed.
Survey says.
Got it. Here we go.
But I think that's the end of the game.
No.
No, we're going. Everybody just start yelling things out.
Okay. Lunchbox, go.
Wash the pets.
Wash the pets.
Oh!
What?
Eddie.
Okay, here we go. Amy said it, but she didn't choose that as her answer, so clean the windows.
Windows! Okay, game's over. You know what? Game's over. Hold on.
Walk the dog.
Eddie with 15 points is a winner.
I don't even know how to celebrate that one.
You got 7 out of 10.
Yeah, but dude, I want to win the whole thing.
Change the light bulbs.
At number 5, ironing.
Oh.
I don't do that.
I don't think that's a
chore.
That's
like laundry,
right? That's like if you're going somewhere, you got to iron your
shirt. Who irons?
No one.
At number 8, organizing clutter.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And at number 10, sanitizing and wiping kitchen surfaces.
Oh.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that, yeah.
Well, there he is.
Hey,
he wins. It's Eddie, everybody. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Another round of Bobby Feud. Woo-hoo. What do you want to say, Eddie?
Thank you so much to everyone that didn't believe in me. I proved you wrong.
Okay, no idea.
Who I have no idea.
Who didn't believe in him, Bobby Feud, but we like that.
The Bobby Bones Show. Here's Amy's pile of stories.
So, good news, NASA has ruled out any chance of an asteroid strike during the next 100 years.
I would expect them to say that if we were about to get hit by an asteroid, I'd be honest with you. I don't think they're going to tell us we're going to get hit.
Well, there were some projected ones for 2029 and 2036. I mean, that's in the near future. But now they're saying we don't have to worry about it. And I think we're all good. The next 100 years, like, we'll be gone.
Let me ask you guys a question. If they said in 2036 an asteroid was going to hit Earth,
yeah,
how would you change your life today? 2036, not like next year.
Too deep right now. Too deep.
Yeah, it's hardcore, man.
Would you?
I don't even
know. I'm thinking Tim McGraw song right now. Love deeper.
But would you, with 15 years left?
I'd go skydiving.
I wouldn't. I wouldn't change a dang thing. 15 years is forever.
Again, if I said 2 years or next month, you do all that. You get on Fu Manchu and let it rip, you know?
Eight seconds.
On a bull named Fu Manchu.
I know, but there's definitely things I would want to go do. Like, I want to go see. I want to go to Wyoming.
But you can do that in the next 15 years.
Right, I know. Even but as now. I would do that. I keep putting that off, though. But I would not put it off any longer. I'd for sure go on a trip.
This is what I predict. If they said an asteroid was crushing into the Earth in 15 years, you guys would go, wow, that's crazy. And then in about 2 days, you'd be back to normal.
Probably.
Yeah, we wouldn't even care until like a year before. All right, what else, Amy?
Well, so therapists put out a list of the top five things that could be causing you stress at your house. So in at number five, anywhere in your home, if you have an unfinished project, then that is creating stress. You may not even realize it, but just the fact that it's sitting there undone.
Yeah. You know what stresses me out about being undone is we have these, the guy that owned our house before we bought it, it's just a disaster when it comes to having a normal place to live. In our bathroom, in our main bath, I have a couple things. I'll get to the big one. But in our bathroom that is in the living room, there's an extra light switch. And when you turn it on, up in the ceiling, like these disco lights come on in the bathroom.
Ow, ow.
And not only that, he put two toilets in there. Again, this is a small space.
This is interesting.
There are two black toilets. There's a black commode, like a normal toilet. And then right next to it is a black urinal. In the normal bathroom, where it also has disco lights. So that's the first thing. Second thing we got rid of, they had these terrible showers in the main and guest bathroom. And we got rid of them because they flooded. They were pieces of crap. Thirdly, there are these huge triangles in the living room that are a little crooked, and it looks like a dartboard in them. They look like he was in the Illuminati. They're awful, but they're very high up, and it's like last on my list to repair. But the guy, it's just a nightmare, and that stresses me out. That's an unfinished project to me, is taking down those Illuminati triangles. What's number four, Amy?
Well, do you ever work in your living room?
Nah.
Okay. Well, they say that working in your living room can make it harder to relax in that same space later in the day. And I feel like a lot of people have been working from home lately. So make sure you just create more of a workspace. Then at number three, outdated or worn out furniture could prompt feelings of stress.
Okay, but furniture's expensive. I'm stressed out. Got to go spend a bunch of money.
Well, they're just saying if you have like a rundown dining room table, I'm not saying you have to go spend money, but it is causing a little stress because maybe you don't want to go eat at the table. I have chairs, bar stools that are totally falling apart. Like you can't even sit in them. If you sit in them, you might fall through. But here's the deal. If I look, I got a quote to repair them, and the cost to repair the chair is more than the actual chair. So I refuse
to
do it.
Totaled. That chair has been totaled.
Right. But what this is an example, Bobby, of like I have worn out furniture that I have not figured out, and it's still just sitting there that probably is causing me a little bit of stress, and I don't realize it, especially when guests come over and I'm like, whoa, 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 don't sit down. Then in at number two, like you said, Bobby, in the earlier, you guessed that I might say clutter, and yeah, that is in at number one. Clutter can increase your stress and make it tough to relax. And then at number one, looking at TV screens can increase your stress levels as well.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
TV screens rock. All right, is that it?
Yeah, well, real quick, Jenny's Splendid Ice Cream, which they put out a lot of fun flavors. They have a new Dolly Parton flavor, and it's strawberry pretzel pie. And that just sounds so good to me. It's going to be available online and at the Jenny's shops and stores, scoop shops, on April 8th. So that's something to look forward to.
Man, Dolly just gets checks every day for something else.
Well, the flavor actually is going to benefit Dolly Parton's Imagination Library, which is her book gifting program. So technically, she's not making money from it.
Hey, that's great. Mm-hmm. Dolly, okay, how about this? Dolly's just writing checks every day
that's right.
to somewhere. That's great. Okay.
I'm Amy. That's my pile.
That was Amy's pile of stories.
Oh! It's time for the good news.
With Amy.
Tell me something good.
So Andrew and Marley Kent were getting married on Lake Tahoe, and they were exchanging vows on a deck. And right as the ring exchange was happening, from the man to the woman, so is her ring, which is probably way more expensive than his, it drops down onto the deck through a crack and down into the lake. The man wanted to jump in, tucks and all, and get the ring, but the pastor that was marrying them convinced him not to. They went on with the ceremony, had a great time, although I'm sure they were worried about the ring the entire time. Then they went to Lake Tahoe's like scuba diving Facebook page, and the founder of that page ended up suiting up and headed out to the lake. It took him about 30 minutes, moved around some rocks, but he did find the wedding ring.
If you're putting that ring on somebody's finger and you look down and there's any sort of crack,
yeah,
aren't you extra secure? I mean, aren't you holding on to that thing? I mean, I understand it's a very precious and you want to be, but it's still jewelry. It's fine to hold it tight.
Mm-hmm.
I just think I would look down and be like, oh man, I can't drop the ring here, and then not drop the ring. And good thing they found it. I'm surprised someone else didn't, like, from the wedding.
Jump in. Yeah, go try get to, it.
You know, if you were at a wedding and you saw that happen.
I would jump in and reward money.
Oh, you'd want
to. Oh, you'd offer.
Yeah.
Okay.
You would, if you jumped in, you would just give them the ring back.
I mean, if I'm in the, like, if I'm just a guest at the wedding, that means I'm kind of close, but not that close. So a reward should be given my way. If I'm in the bridal party, I get it.
If you're at the wedding, you want a reward.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think that's true, do you?
Well, he would make the news at least.
You've been wanting
and
to make the news.
Oh,
maybe
man.
That's it.
Yeah.
All right, there it is. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Today on the Bobbycast, which is my music podcast, we're doing something a little different. I basically got a focus group of listeners on and recorded it. And I was like, hey, ask me whatever you want. And so you can hear that. Just search Bobbycast. We got 5 or 6 listeners from the B Team Facebook page. And I said, hey, you've always wanted to ask me stuff. Here we go. Let's do it. We did it on Zoom. So check that out today. I have a couple of guys in Alabama that may have driven right into one of those tornadoes. They shot cell phone video of trees being pulled up from the roots, power lines being torn down. You can hear the reactions. It didn't last long. By the end of the clip, their windows are rolled down and they're looking around in shock. But they were right in the middle of a tornado as this was taken. Check it out.
Oh, hell no.
Lucky they didn't get picked up by the tornado and tossed a couple hundred miles. They sound like Bill and Ted, too, at the end of it.
I know. I'm like, that's not the voices I was expecting.
Dude.
Like, professional tornado chasers.
What a righteous tornado.
Gnarly.
<Yeah. laughs>
All right, let's go over to Amy and get in the morning corny.
The morning corny.
So my house was broken into last night, and all they stole was my limbo stick.
Okay.
Seriously, my limbo stick. How low
can
they
go?
That was the morning corny.
Dang.
Now Amy's doing full-fledged stand-up. What's the deal with limbo? Is it a limb or is it a bow, huh? Why do you keep going lower? Okay, thank you, Amy. Mm-hmm. Hey, I was thinking about this from earlier in the show. We were talking about if an asteroid was coming toward Earth. Would you want to know a day out, or would you just want it to hit and never know?
Oh, I think I want it to hit and I don't know. But I don't know, because then maybe I could like get together with family and we all go down together. Because I don't want to be alone.
But you won't know.
I know.
Because it's just going to be, you have like a 7-second warning. And then it's 7 seconds, wha-bam, lights out.
Wait, but you said I could know the day before.
You could know the day before, or you'll know 7 seconds
right.
before.
At first, I was choosing 7 seconds, but now I changed my mind, and I go back to the day before so that I can go be with like everybody that I want to be with when it happens.
Not me. I don't even want to know what's happening.
Okay.
I just want lights to go out.
Yeah.
Because then you're not scared ever. There's no, you're just living your life. Isn't that how you want to go, living your best life, and that's it? Eddie, what would you do?
I don't think I'd be scared of it, so I'd want to know.
You're out of your mind.
You know,
they say that an asteroid's going to crash into Earth and everyone's going to die. You're just going to be chill?
You want to hear something crazy? I'm not scared of death, like, ever. Like, I know we always, sometimes we fly and Bones likes to make jokes and stuff, whatever, and I don't get scared about dying, like, instantly. So that doesn't bother me. It really doesn't. And I'd like to know a day in advance so I can just kind of hang out with people and say goodbye to people the way I want to.
But there's no need to say goodbye to anybody if you're all going at the same time.
Possibly, but we get to enjoy each other here on Earth.
I would just be scared the whole time.
You would?
The whole time. I want it to go. Hey, Bobby, again, coming in 7 seconds. Oh, yeah, look up. Bam, lights out.
Man, having a 13-year-old daughter, that's just like a planet I've never been on.
Yeah, and she's almost 14.
Really?
Yeah, in April.
So what's going on?
Well, she wants to get a locked diary. So she had me, well, I've ordered it. We just don't have it yet. But she's like, I need a diary that locks. I'm putting all my passwords in there so nobody can know. because she forgot, I guess, one of her email passwords. And she's like, oh, I can't believe I can't remember it. So she wants to write them down and lock them away in her drawer. And I thought, okay, well, that's interesting. But she may want to start journaling other things that she starts to lock away. And I think that's cool. I think that writing down your thoughts is really healthy. And I hope maybe she does use that. But then I thought, oh, well, it's going to be locked. What if one day there's something going on with her and I maybe need to read her diary? And then I was like, no, you can't read her diary. It's her diary. But she's going to have it locked anyway. But then it just had me, I had this whole conversation in my head about whether or not as a parent, what circumstance makes it okay to go into the diary? Obviously not just for fun on a Friday night, but like if something's seriously going on with her, I may need to be looking out for her. So I didn't know as a parent how I'm supposed to handle that. Fake scenario in my head that has never even happened yet.
If she gave you a key, is like, here, you can also have a key. Would you go snoop in it?
No.
She thought about it.
No, well, I mean, if she's saying I could and I really felt like...
No, she's saying if here's a key in case for emergency.
Okay, then if it's an emergency, yes. Again, I'm not going to... I want to show her. Like, we're big on respect in our house and... Right now, we're working on a lot of different core values as a family, and we want to live by example to the kids. So, like, if she were to find out that I was snooping in her stuff with no emergency reason, then that wouldn't be building trust and respect with her.
I agree. For a 13, 14-year-old to have a diary and write down all their thoughts, great. I think the only time you should get into it is if you think she's in danger and
yes.
You have to cut that thing open, and then you have to have the conversation, I just got into your diary.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's not like an Instagram account where people can interact with her. People can't reach out to her in her diary. That's the difference in a Facebook account, an Instagram account, a TikTok account, where maybe you don't want your 13-year-old to have one of those because they are accessible to creeps.
And that does happen. And as a parent or parents, we can't be naive to that.
But creeps, yes, creeps and pervs can't get
into a locked diary.
Right.
Yeah. And again, I encourage her writing down her thoughts. I think that that's super healthy for anybody, kids or adults.
And you should tell her, if I ever feel like you're in danger, I'm going to cut this open with a pair of scissors. And you're going to know I did it, so I'm never going to do it without you knowing.
Okay.
That's what I would say. Eddie, you have a 13-year-old son?
Yeah, there are no secrets in my house. So, like, if I had the diary...
But there are.
But there aren't because it's my house.
No, but there are.
I know, but they're not. Because, like, if I find a diary, guess what? I'm going to read it. Like, I'm not going to tell them I read... Because I have boys, all boys. I'm not going to tell them I read it. But I want to know what's going on in their lives. And I want to be able to relate.
Ask them.
So far, I have a 13-year-old son. And so far, he communicates very well with us. If there's a problem, he communicates with us. And that's my goal, to just keep that communication gap open. Because when I grew up, there was no talking to dad about anything. So I'm trying to change that culture in my fatherhood or whatever. So, but it also means there are no locks on the doors. There are nothing like that. Like, we can share everything with each other because guess what? I've been where you've been.
Did you ever want to hide things from your dad?
Yeah. But my dad never went in my room. Ever. Like, I can't tell you one time where my dad went into my room. And he'll even tell you today. He's like, no, I had no reason to go in his room. That's crazy. You read stories of people that do bad stuff at school and they're like, you never saw the gun in his room? No, I never went in his room. That is crazy to me.
You don't want to give your 13-year-old son a bit of privacy.
I want him to think he has the privacy, but at the same time, this is our house. Like, I don't have privacy. You guys are all up in my stuff.
They're not in your laptop. They can't get in your computer.
Sure they are. He was on it the other day. And I'm like, that's fine. And I freaked out for a second. I'm like, that's my work laptop. He could easily tweet something in 2 seconds. But he didn't. Guess what? Because he knows that's dad's laptop and he wouldn't do that to dad. So I'm trying to have an open communication.
But what if he said, I need to have my own private space?
Right. Like Stashira asked me for a locked diary. If your son asked you for a locked diary,
yes,
you're saying you would not buy him one.
I know. I would say, absolutely. Just give me a key. Absolutely. Give me a key.
What's the use of locking it then?
Right.
For other people, Bones. You got to watch out for other people. Not dad. You can trust dad 100%. Other people, though, you can't trust
him. What if
he's
like, no, dad, I just really would like a diary for myself. No key for you.
Then I would say, get the diary, go ahead. And then I would find a way to open it up when he's not going to school.
Eddie.
All right, you guys can go over to our Facebook page and comment on this.
Yeah.
Amy, I like your style.
Thanks.
Eddie, we got some work to do.
Oh, come on.
You know, over the past weekend where we live, massive storms. I lost power for a couple of days. Lunchbox, you lost power for how long?
18 hours one time and then a couple hours a couple other times. So 3 different times over the weekend.
But your beef was with them because when the power went out, your fridge went down, you lost all your groceries.
Yeah, $200 worth of brand new groceries, and that was the 18-hour stretch. So after 4 hours, you have to throw everything out. So I'm out $200, so I wanted the power company to pay me my $200.
Amy, what happens here before I play the call? You have a few options. He calls. Do they say, okay, we'll pay you $100 for half the groceries? Do they say, nope, we're paying for nothing? Do they pay for the entire $200 grocery bill? Or do they say, hey, send a receipt to show proof of your groceries and we'll ask our higher-ups?
Oh, wow. Okay. I wasn't expecting D. So I'm going to go with D. Maybe they're not fully committing to helping him out, but they'll see what they can do.
Eddie?
No, I go with they say, sorry, sir, you think you're the only one dealing with this? A lot of people have dealt with it. You're just going to have to just...
But Eddie, what if he's one of the only people that actually reaches out?
No way.
Like, I can't picture many people thinking like him on this.
I feel like a lot of people have reached out, so they say, sorry.
But you feel like it's normal for what he's doing?
Yeah, he can't be the only one.
Oh.
I think
he's pretty, like, in the minority.
Yeah, you guys were all against it saying I'm an idiot, that, oh, why would you even reach out? So there you go. That tells me I'm the minority in here.
Okay, so... Eddie picks B, paid for nothing.
Correct.
Amy picks D. Mm-hmm. They say, show us a receipt.
Yeah, no guarantees, but they'll check with the higher-ups.
What do I pick?
Yeah, what do you think,
I don't think they paid the entire $200. I'm going to go paid for nothing.
Nice.
I think I'm going to go with paid for nothing. Okay, here is the call of Lunchbox calling the power company. Go ahead.
How can I help you today?
Yes, ma'am. I'm calling because, you know, we had the storms over the weekend and I lost power for 18 hours and I had just gone to the grocery store and I had $200 worth of groceries. So I'm calling because I want my money back.
Is your power back on now?
Yes, ma'am. My power is back on. It went out like 3 times over the weekend. The longest was 18 hours consecutive. And so everything in my fridge spoiled.
Yeah, that you have the right idea. You should definitely not risk that and throw anything out that's not sealed. Like, you can keep unopened beverages and some fruits and vegetables and things or condiments, but you want to get rid of anything else in that fridge. That's the right thing to do.
No, that's what I'm saying is I had just gone to the grocery store that day. I had bought chicken, turkey, beef. I bought some sausage, and I bought milk and yogurt. And guess what? It's all spoiled. $200 worth of groceries, and so I need to get you guys to write me a check for $200.
That's not how it works. Of course, we're not going to charge you for any time during that when you don't receive electricity. But the power outage is caused by the weather and the storms, and that's not our fault.
And so will you just take that $200 off my bill, or will you mail me the check for $200?
I wish we could. We can't afford to do that. You might could check with your homeowner's policy. Maybe they could help you out, but... You have a nice day, okay?
So you're not going to accept responsibility for my food?
She hung up. And look how he amps it up and starts talking a little more trash after he knows she's hung up.
He's like, I dare you to say that again after she hangs up.
You're not taking responsibility?
Amy did say on the show yesterday, though, that Lunchbox, if this is something that's bothersome to you or scary, you should have an insurance policy for you.
Yeah.
That pays for this kind of stuff.
Yeah, but then doesn't your insurance go up if you file a claim? Isn't that how that works?
Well, you don't have to file a claim, but you can now start. I don't know. They have grocery insurance, by the way. We're just kind of making something up.
I don't know.
I don't think so, but I don't know.
Eddie, you and I are right. They paid for nothing.
I had hope for like a second, even though I didn't believe it.
The problem is, if she would have said, yeah, we'll pay for it, everybody would have called. They'd run out of business. We'd have had no electric company tomorrow. Hey, Eddie, tell Amy what happened at your kid's school.
Okay, so my son was doing a group project in class, and in order for this project to go down, somebody had to donate their iPad to use for the project. So my son got partnered up with this other kid, and he was using his iPad, my son's iPad. And this other kid's using it, and he's doing scanning something with it or whatever, drops it. Boom! Screen shatters completely.
Oh, no.
So he comes home, and he's like, Mom, Dad, like, I don't, you know, someone else did it. It wasn't me. I don't know what to do. And I'm kind of like, well, what did the kid say? Nothing. He didn't say anything. I kind of got a little heated up saying, I think we need to call the parents of this kid and tell them they need to replace his iPad or at least the screen, something.
So, did you call the parents? Oh, I don't know. Hold on.
No.
I was about to say.
Hold on. Amy, what would you do here?
I don't know. My brain automatically goes to whether, I don't know the other kid's situation, but I automatically wonder, oh, I don't want to call this out because what if for whatever reason they maybe can't afford to replace the iPad? Like, it would just make me uncomfortable to ask for that. And it would, if it was my daughter or son, I'd be like, they made the choice to give the iPad to that person. So this also teaches responsibility for my kids to hold on to their stuff. And that if you let someone else use it, then, you know, if something goes wrong, I don't think I would call it the other parents. I just would figure it out on my own. And you know, I feel awkward right now knowing that Eddie called them.
Oh, you already know he called?
No, I haven't. You don't know. No, I feel as though that's what Eddie did. Eddie, yeah. What did you do?
Well, hold on. Let me say what I would do. I don't know what Eddie did.
Sorry. Go. I thought you did. Go ahead.
You know, I am a bit like Amy where I would feel nervous asking somebody because I couldn't afford that stuff as a kid. But I think maybe instead of calling and having that conversation on the phone, I would just send an email. Mm-hmm. That way it's not putting them on the spot. No. Explaining the situation to see if they wanted to volunteer to help pay for what they could of the iPad. Because you're not calling them on the phone and being like, your kid did this, which they may get defensive. They may get defensive of their kid. They may get defensive because they don't have any money. I don't know. But I think I would approach it as, hey, this happened. Maybe you heard about it. They were playing with the iPad and, you know, your son, Jethro, dropped the iPad and it broke.
That was his name. Weird.
Stop.
So I would reach out, but I wouldn't reach out directly. Eddie, what did you do?
Bones, you're going down the right track, I think. Like, so we were talking about it, and my wife was like, absolutely not. Let's not even get the parents involved. This is going to be awkward. And I said, no, we got to make this right. Like, somebody has to pay for this, and I don't think we need to pay for it. So as we're talking about it, I'm not kidding, an email comes through, and it's the kid's dad. And he emails us and says, my son came home today, told us exactly what happened. We would like to pay for this iPad.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. I was like, this is amazing. We don't have to do anything.
Oh, okay. Well, that worked out just great. So now you know. I mean, because the only thing that's uncomfortable is not knowing their family situation. And it's not like it's like a $1 or $5 thing. I mean, the iPad's super expensive. So that's cool.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do, though, Eddie?
I mean, I was talking a big game. I think in those situations, my wife usually wins. And says, you know, we probably don't want to call them. I think she was actually leaning towards calling the school and saying, hey, what should we do in this situation and get their take on it because it was a school project. But honestly, I don't think we were going to move fast enough to do anything. And knowing me, I'd probably chicken out.
Yeah, iPads are expensive too.
Yeah.
That's what stinks. They don't have school iPads. Amy, does your kid's school have iPads?
Well, they provide them with a tablet, like a computer thing. Yeah. So that's what they use. And it's given out by the school. So
Eddie, what are your kids' rules on the iPad? What can he be on?
I mean, my 13-year-old has free range for the most part. He has these, I think websites have ratings on them. So we set him up to where there's certain websites he can't access and certain apps he can't get unless we accept it, some kind of security question or whatever. And usually it goes to my phone and I just click one button and he can get it. If not, I decline it.
Is there a workaround on that where he can actually... Have you tried to reverse engineer and try to download things?
That's a great idea. No, I have not. Because you know him and his buddies have all tried these little tricks and they know how to get by. But no, I haven't tried to play the 13-year-old on his iPad, see if I can crack some codes.
Well, the best thing to do if you want to try to beat something that someone else is beating is try to beat yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, with this show, I went and hired people to create... And maybe I talked about this off the air... But I went and paid people in radio to try to beat me. Like, I'm going to give you money. I want you to listen to the show for a month, and I want you to develop a plan to beat me. And I hired them to give me that report so I could see how they would beat us, so I could close up all the gaps.
You did this?
I didn't talk about this on the post-show. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know. I often scout against myself because there's shows popping up all over that are trying to take me and us down. And so I went and hired two different people and paid them top dollar and said, take a month. I want you to listen to the podcast. I want you listening live. I want you listening on different channels. And if you had free reign to just develop a show, what would you do? What would you talk about? Where are we lacking? And I had them write up this humongous report. And then I take it and then I go through it and I go, okay, they have a point here. Let's do this. Let's not do this. And so I hire people to try to beat me and then I take that information.
So what were you told?
Ellie's going to reveal that.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
Why would I reveal that right here? I just paid top dollar for that stuff.
Well, I don't know. I'm wondering. wondering what
that's top secret information.
What did they say? Like, did they give you like even like, oh, you shouldn't do this or shouldn't do that? Or they're you actually you're just saying that they said this is what we would do to counter you.
This is what you do well. This is what you could do better at. But if we were going to launch a show against you, this is everything we would do to try to beat you. And I go, and thank you for that information. I take that, and I try to close up a lot of those holes.
Was it helpful, or did you just see the information, and it was like, nah, actually, no one can really beat you. You're just that good.
No, it's never that. Never, ever, ever that. It was one of them was extremely helpful, so much so that it was so good. I went to the head of the company. I was like, we need to hire her.
Oh.
Not on this show, but as someone who does this for other shows.
That's cool.
Yeah, so... Well, there
what
you go.
Part? Like, Amy's awesome? Or
okay, everybody's dying to know. The only person I gave that report to is Scuba Steve. It's good, right, Scuba Steve?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was very thorough, and I like took parts of it that I thought were great. And, it was a cool idea. I thought that was very inventive for you to do that.
Yeah. You want to not get beat? Try to beat yourself and then close up all those ways someone else could beat you. There, the end.
Super smart.
I'm giving up too much of my strategy here. Eddie, congrats on the iPad,
thanks.
Buddy.
And I'll try that with my kid too. Beat
yeah,
him.
No, try.
Beat
yeah, try. You no, you're trying to beat you. Right,
beat me through his stuff.
You've set up a plan to keep your kid from downloading Eddie. Things he shouldn't. So you go try to beat you now.
No, now we just Eddie. We just need to hire people to tell us how they would be better parents than us.
You can do that too.
It's time for the good news
with Lunchbox.
Tell me something good.
A Maine police officer was on duty when the call comes through. We got an overturned vehicle, one car crash. He responds to the scene. There's a car on its side. There's flames coming up, and him and a good Samaritan that stopped break open the windshield and pull the driver to safety.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That someone would just jump up beside a cop and start pulling him out. And that cop, you got to be like, thank God someone's trying to help me here.
Mm-hmm.
Because mostly that would just be him jumping in that car.
Yeah, so shout out to Officer Andre Chase and the unidentified Good Samaritan.
Why do you...
I feel bad for the Good Samaritan in this one because he doesn't get his name in the story. Officer Andre Chase does, which he rightfully should. But we should also get that name of the other guy.
Maybe he didn't want his name out there.
If I... Come on.
Maybe they were like, sir, can we get your name? And he was like, Good Samaritan.
It's like Clark Kent.
He's like, G Samaritan. And what is G? Good. Oh. All right, there you go. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
So we had this drawing on the show, and Lunchbox lost. And if drawn, he has to go to space. Remember that, Lunchbox?
Oh, I remember it. I think about it every day because I've not been told that I'm not going to space.
So what you did is you put in a bunch of money. And every dollar you put in was another slip. And if they drew your slip, you were one of the four people to go up in this all-civilian mission to space. We had the guy on who's going to, like, command it. His name's Jared Isaacman. He's a billionaire, but he's also, like, a fighter pilot. I've just been tipped off. I've just been tipped off, Lunchbox, as to what's going to happen here.
It's not... I don't know. Like, why are you laughing? Like, oh, my God. Like,
so,
you get pleasure out of the weirdest things, like seeing people suffer. This is not.
Do you want to know right now if I think you're going to be on that mission, or do you want to wait and hear on the news?
The news.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
You should know now.
Go ahead and tell me.
So I've been passed along something a little earlier than I should have.
That's not good. That's not good.
What do you mean?
If you're finding out early, that means they have to contact the person early. They're not going to let the person find out on the... Oh, my gosh.
Did you tell your wife that you might be going to space and for how long?
Yeah, and she suggested that one of you guys with no kids go.
Why does that make us less valuable than you?
I don't... You'll have to ask my wife that because she cares about me, and I'm a father to two, and so she was... I don't know. I don't like thinking about it. Like, it terrifies... Because then they had the spaceship blow up. Like, right after we did this drawing, there was a spaceship they were supposed to send up, and it blew up.
The Inspiration 4 crew will launch from NASA's Kennedy Space Center via SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket and begin their roughly 3-day mission no earlier than September 15th.
Oh my. Wow, that's...
That's soon. Mm-hmm.
The crew will be monitored by SpaceX Mission Control as their Dragon spacecraft orbits Earth every 90 minutes.
Oh, my goodness.
On the flight will be... On the flight will be previously announced crew member Haley Arsenault.
I thought you were going to... Oh, man.
Also on the crew will be the commander, Jared Isaacman, There is a doctor now on the crew, Dr. Cyan Proctor of Tempe, Arizona.
What in the world? He's a doctor. Why would you want to do this? Oh, my.
And there's one more person on the crew.
Come on. Come on.
Don't be me. Like, I know the world hates me right now, but please don't be me. Like, just give me one glimmer of hope, please. Goodness.
The story starts from Cape Canaveral, Florida. The world's first all-civilian mission to space. Today announced the final two members of the four-person crew that will undertake a historic voyage to the stars. That final person, Eddie's patting him on the back.
You'll be all right, man.
Is Christopher Sembrowski.
Yeah!
You will not be going to space, Lunchbox.
Thank you. Oh, my. Space gods. Thank you for that
space
one.
Space gods.
Wow.
Everything is, yeah.
Woo!
Did you think you were going to space?
Man, I really thought I had it. I mean, I really thought I was because, let's be real, we're on a national show. It'd be bringing a lot of publicity to this flight, and, oh, gosh, that is terrifying. I don't know who Chris Dombrowski is, but he's my hero. That's all I know.
Scoob, we should get this guy on who won. And maybe if he is feeling a little under the weather, he can let Lunchbox, he can tap Lunchbox in.
No.
He can be the alternate.
Oh, congratulations, Lunchbox. You are not going to space. There he is. Any final words?
Man, I'm just going to say it feels good to keep my feet planted on this planet Earth and on this soil, and it feels good to be home. And you idiots that want to go to outer space, you guys are weird.
You should tell your wife, record it, don't let her know, that you've been selected to go and see how she reacts.
Okay, okay.
You do that?
Yeah, I can do that because she won't hear this. Oh, my gosh.
Amy, tell us what happened.
Okay, so my sister and I are picking up food, and I pull up to the restaurant, and my sister gets out to go inside and get the food. And as I'm waiting, so I'm pulled over on the curb outside of the restaurant, four girls come up to my car and they all start to get in.
That's crazy.
And I was like, oh, what? And they're like, oh, where's our Uber? And I was like, I am not your Uber. I don't have even the little U light in my window. I mean, honestly, I don't know if they had been eating and maybe having a few margaritas, but they were very confused.
So, did they open your passenger side and both back doors?
Well, I mean, they couldn't get in. Like, they didn't actually, like, I had pulled up, and then when I start to drive, my car locks. So, luckily, I mean, they just were trying to get in.
And what do they do once you yell, I'm not your Uber?
They're like, oh my goodness. Sorry. So I don't know what Uber they were looking for, but it definitely was not me. And then my sister came out and I was like, oh, I almost got assaulted by four bachelorettes.
Have you guys ever gotten into a wrong car?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I've gotten into an empty car that I thought was mine.
Hold on. Go ahead.
It's happened to me twice. One time here yes, I've told you about it. We just tell so many stories over the years.
Wait,
you forget.
I meant for an Uber. Have you grabbed the wrong car to think it was an Uber? But I want to hear this story too.
Oh, yeah. I done both.
Oh boy.
Wow.
But the Uber thing is you just realize you get in and you're like, oh, whoops, not my Uber. But now they have those. This was before I think they even had the clear, like, you know, all the things that you could pay attention to so that you don't mess up. And like the little sign and blah. But yeah, here in the parking garage, I got in a car that was like, I think I was in a, I don't know, I was in a car that was, I was in a loaner, I can't remember, but I got into an employee that works here car and I was like, I didn't have that drink here this morning. And then I realized, oh, that's not my drink. And then one time we were in Austin for iHeart Country and I was in a loner car and I went to go run some errands and I got into a car that was unlocked that looked just like my loner and I was like, trying to leave, but I couldn't because I didn't have the key. It wouldn't start, but I was 100% in the wrong Toyota or whatever it was.
Yeah, I did. Caitlin and I, probably a couple months ago, we went to stay in this little cabin for the weekend where there are other people staying in these cabins right next to us. And so we get there and we were driving her SUV. And so I had to walk out of the cabin and drive down to the store. And so I just get in the SUV. And I'm trying to, it's like a push start where you just had to have the key inside the car and you push the button. and it won't start. And I've got the button. I'm like, what's happening? But then I look up and I see a tassel hanging from the rearview mirror. And I'm like, not my car. Oh, my goodness. I jump out of that car like the seat was on fire. I was like, oh. And I look around to see if anyone thinks I was trying to rob the car.
Right.
And then I got in mine and left. But I've done that, too. Anyone thought it was an Uber? Eddie, you've done that?
Yeah, Lunchbox and I, we were in Austin, iHeart Country Fest, at the hotel getting ready to get an Uber. And I'm reaching for the door handle. It said white Corolla. So I see a white Corolla. I reach for the door handle. The girl looks at me and just slams on her lock button and just like locks all the doors. Like, nah, it's not me. I'm not your ride. It's not me.
She was just there to pick up a friend. She wasn't even an Uber. And she thought we were two men trying to get in her car.
Yeah. I would think you were two men trying to get in my car if you two. I mean, look at you.
Well, we were two men trying to
get in the car. Yeah, we were two men trying to get in the car.
Look at you. You're two men trying to get in the car. Hey, you guys, check out Amy's podcast. It's called Four Things with Amy Brown. This episode is the fifth thing. She shares emails from you guys, answers questions. She talks about the new book she's reading, about getting your creativity back, the new jeans and boots that she's obsessed with. An app that will help with bird watching. Nobody cares about that.
I mean, well, no, a listener shared it with me. If I'm sharing it, it means it was addressed in an email, either in a question or they want to suggest it for people. So I throw it out there. So yes, people are interested. It also identifies flowers when you're hiking.
Do you have a big bird following, Amy? A big bird watching following now?
Shockingly, a lot of listeners are into puzzles, bird watching, and sipping coffee. We have a lot in common.
You could actually do bird watching TikTok if you're trying to find your place.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You already like it. This is like the conversation I had with Eddie. I was like, dude, you can dominate adult box opening TikTok. Like, I watch Eddie's videos on TikTok of him opening boxes. And wow, that's cool. Then he opens it and it's a box that was sent to me. And I'm like, wait, that's weird. Why is he opening my mail? But still, you can find your lane in TikTok. Everybody's dancing. Everybody's doing goofy stuff. But find your lane. Yours can be bird watching, Amy.
Okay, I'll look into that. Now with this app and my pamphlet, I'll be able to identify birds, to teach people how the birds. I think about birds all the time. I dream about birds. Like birds, they're coming to me though. Birds are there everywhere.
Oh, like a bird lady.
Yes. Oh, no. Yes.
Oh no.
They're everywhere. I feel they're coming to my backyard. Huh. I'm creating a bird. Like, what do they call it? A bird sanctuary. Yes. Like, they're spreading the word. The other day, I swear to you, I heard a bird chirping to another bird, and I think it was like, over here, come to this house.
Oh, no. Amy's going crazy, guys.
Oh, wow.
No,
she jumped in the pool with her clothes on, and now birds are talking.
To her.
Yeah.
No, not to her. She hears birds talking to each other in English.
About
in English.
Her.
Yeah.
Amy, I'm concerned.
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
You're hearing birds talk to each other.
No, I'm creating a safe space for the birds.
Do anybody else have a newish, weird, or adult hobby? Because something that I've recently gotten into is watches, right? That's very adult. Like, I'm looking for watches. I'm checking out the ones I like the most. I'm having like a little wish list of ones I want to check out. That's very adult of me. It's kind of a new hobby. You'll see me wearing a watch most days now because I'm a grown A man. I'm about to be 41 years old.
So
I'm going, what?
I got one, but I don't want to admit it.
Go ahead.
I do the daily crossword on USA Today.
Oh, Papa.
Hold on.
That sounds fun.
Here's the thing. I go to usatoday.com and I do the crossword every day because they say you need to do things to keep your brain from getting that Alzheimer's. And my grandpa would do it every day. He would get the newspaper and do it. And I was like, oh, man, what a nerd. Like, how old are you? And now I'm like, man, I don't really do anything to keep my brain fresh. So I started going to usatoday.com. And it gets harder throughout the week. Mondays are usually pretty easy. And then as you get towards, woo, but don't try the New York Times. It's impossible.
Yeah, too hard?
Oh, way too hard. I can't even get one word. I'm just like, ah, see you later. But, yep, that's my new old man thing.
I like that. Eddie?
Oh, well, mine, you guys know about mine. I do diamond art. It's really cool. It's just a bunch of little diamond beads, and then you put it wherever the letter is, and then next thing you know, you have a beautiful piece of art with just a bunch of diamond beads. It's really pretty and therapeutic, and I like doing it outside, Amy, so I can hear the birds.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
I know. I can't wait for it. I tell you, the hummingbirds are going to be coming soon, and it's going to be nice. You know, Katie Couric went and hung out with Spencer Pratt because he had hummingbirds that were coming to him. Like, this is a thing.
Yeah.
Like
no, I think you should embrace the thing and do bird stuff on Instagram and TikTok.
Okay. I'll add
find
that.
Out. No, what I really want to see is when they talk to each other and I can hear them speak in English. I think it's amazing the birds
know. No,
when
I'll
they
just say, have to interpret.
Over here, come check this lady's yard.
I will. Okay. I can tell when they like the food, they don't like the food. Yeah, they're right now I don't think they're happy with the current batch of food, but I got to figure it out. So,
like, you really believe this?
Y'all, birds are smart.
Okay. Hey, Raymundo.
Right?
Do you have any sort of new adult hobby?
Yeah, board games and card games. We've really become obsessed with the game Sorry, and then also there's a card game called Play 9. It's not going outside and playing golf. It's just sitting down, and we play cards. So typically every weekend is really when we do a lot of our board gaming.
My grandma and I play cards all the time. If you're new to the show, she adopted me for a while when I was a kid, but she also taught me how to play poker, eventually how to cheat at poker. We played Skip-Bo, we played Uno. She was big into me learning numbers quick. And I have a pretty quick mind that allows that, but we were working on cards and a very small version of counting cards as I was 5 years old. Like, my grandma would sit me down and be like, all right, here we go. Let's do this. Let's look at the deck. All these have been played. What do you think's left? And so she had little systems. We played bingo. We go play bingo. She was a big gambler. I think that's where I get it now that I talk it out.
Yeah.
She got arrested because what happened in Hot Springs, Arkansas, bingo was stopped. They were like, no more gambling. You can't go and pay for bingo cards. And then, you know, there's a pot, and whoever wins the money. They're like, that's gambling, no gambling. So what she did is she rented out a big van, and she'd put all of her old lady friends in the back of the van, and they would drive around and play bingo and just give the money to whoever won in the back of the van, and then the cops busted it. My grandma was a rebel. That's why I'm on DraftKings. Put in code BONES. There you go. All right, thank you guys for your stories.
Bobby Bones Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from Jacksonville, Florida. A mother was going to pick up her daughter from middle school, and her daughter had been talking about another girl that had been picking on her. So when her mom showed up, she jumped out of the car with boxing gloves on and hit the other kid a couple times.
No
the
way.
Mom hit the kid?
Yes.
Even the mom putting the gloves on the kid and going hit her is not right. But it's even worse when it's the mom hitting the kid.
Yeah, she drove to pick up her daughter with boxing gloves on, got out, and punched the girl.
I thought she was going to threaten her, you know, like, see these?
Like, my daughter will challenge you in a one-on-one bout. But no, she just went and punched her. So then what happens to her?
She gets arrested for child abuse.
Oh,
that's,
my gosh.
Yeah, that's serious.
That's serious.
Terrible. Yeah.
Dang.
I'm Lunchbox. That's your Bonehead Story of the Day.
I'm in California and have been doing the show here for the last couple days. And I check on my dogs. Caitlin and I have two dogs. And I want them to be, like, having a good time while we're gone. Like, living a good life, but not too good a life. Like, I want when we get back home for them to be like, oh, we missed you. And for that to be had, they have to be having a moderately good time. Should I be getting jealous of my pet's good time while we're gone, Amy?
No. I wouldn't worry about that at all.
You guys ever think about that when you're gone? Like, you don't want your pets to be sad you're back?
No.
No.
Yeah. No. I mean, I think that maybe about my kids or like... You know,
but he doesn't have kids. So.
We don't have kids yet.
Yeah,
and I bring this up because a couple heard their neighbors were moving, so they get on to look at the real estate photos online, and they see their own cat lying in one of the beds at the neighbor's house, and realize that cat had been living a double life, like over there, like living it up, like he would go outside for a while, but he'd really just go over to the neighbor's house and like love it.
Oh, yeah. That's also an example of like what it's like when you're a parent and your kid likes to be at other people's houses better than yours.
Dang.
Man, this is hitting me in a different way.
Well, the neighbors, too, saw the cat on the street all the time and called him by a different name. So who knows what he was living. This cat was living a completely different life as a different person.
Wow.
A different, like, identity.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. I wonder if the cat really knew what he was doing. He's playing people.
All right. See you guys tomorrow. Have a great day. Goodbye, friends. We'll see you Thursday. Bye-bye.
Bobby Bones.